There's one. Well, gosh, thanks for being here today. I know it's the crush of the end of the year, and there's a lot to do, and I'm just thankful you're here with us today. I've got a New Year's meditation for you. I hate the word sermon because that's what pastors do, and I'm not a pastor. I'm just a lay guy. But I have some thoughts, and they're really probably not as good as the thoughts you have, but have an opportunity to share them with him and share them with you, and maybe together, our brains blended together, we can think and reason together, and maybe come to a higher understanding of what God's has for us in the year to come. I don't know about you, but as we come to the close of the year, I always try to remember what happened last year. It gets harder every year as I get older to remember last year, but our focus today is going to be communion, so I'm going to kind of point my discussion towards communion, so hopefully you'll be ready by the time we get there. But as we think about this last year, what do we recall from the year that went past? Was it a year of struggle or a year of success? Perhaps a little of both. At least I know in my life, and that's kind of the reality of it, is that there's some struggle and there's some success. And we like to think more about the success than the struggle, but sometimes the struggles are there to teach us as well. But when we think about the really important areas in our lives, what will we say? Was it successful? Well, first of all, what are these important areas? I guess we each have to decide that for ourselves. But I think Scripture teaches us that one of the very important areas in our lives is relationships. Those relationships we have with our family, with our friends, with the Lord, as well as with our view of ourselves. That's really a relationship too, isn't it? And how did these fare in 2018, looking back on them? Did we have more successes than failures? Did we make progress or we fall behind? You see, these are the really only two places that relationships can go, right? They can improve or they can sort of stagnate and fall behind because there really is no status quo in relationships. They either get better or they tend to slip. That's just the nature of relationships. And I don't know about you, but I've found that my relationship with God makes a huge difference in my relationship with my wife, with my kids, my friends, and who I see myself as well. If Christ is on the throne of my life, then things are in order. However, if I'm on the throne, it tends to be chaos. That's just the way it is for me. This has really become a point of clarity in my life as in the last few years, as my life has changed a bit, with less focus on a career and greater focus on the ministries of God. It's given me a little clarity. It's a little easier to recognize when things in my life are out of balance. But there's a great number of things that can divert our attention from the ministry God's given us. And even if that's going fine, it's easy to get distracted, isn't it? It happens pretty quick. But half the battle on gaining clarity is understanding that God really does have a ministry for each of us. That's right, you have a ministry. I said I didn't like sermons, but we all are ministers in one way or another. As we've been learning about, we're key to God's plan. You're key to God's plan for your oikos, for your household, for your friends and neighbors. Those are the people in our lives that we have relationships with. We have an opportunity to model Christ's living to them through us. If you never thought about yourself as having a ministry, I want to tell you that no one, not Pastor Jim, not any great preacher, nobody on TV will ever have the impact on that group of people that you will. You're the most important person to that group of people in the world and that will ever be. We try to remember this. We do our best to think about this as the prime directive. But in the crush of the modern world, we often forget, stumble, and fall, and fail to live up to that. Perhaps looking back on 2018, we see more relationship failures than successes. Even when we work so hard at them, I know I sometimes see that. For me, I can tie those failures in relationships directly to moments when I tried to rule my life in my own strength and failed to put God in his proper place in my life. So why does that happen? How does this work? Usually for me, it's because I lose focus on the cross and my place under the cross. I try to do things my way. I believe I can handle what is happening today. I'm a grown man. I should be able to handle this, right? But what happens is I put myself on the throne try to run things. So I give an opening to the world. And Scripture says this about that. It says, rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Well, I'm not really trying to gratify desires of the flesh, am I? I'm just trying to be in charge. Well, unfortunately, that's what it leads to. Why is that important? How does that work? Because the enemy is much smarter than I am. He knows my nature. He knows my weaknesses. He knows God's forgiven me and loves me. And you know what? The enemy hates me because of that, because I'm forgiven and loved. He wants to destroy me. Jesus said this. He said, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them rich and satisfying life. So, Jesus wants us to have a rich and satisfying life. But there's a condition, right? It's not unconditional. There is a condition. We must obey him to see that occur. He says, Peter says, be alert and sober and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So, there's the two dichotomies, right? Jesus wants me to be satisfied. The devil wants me to not be satisfied and have a horrible life. But he hides that, right? He hides that in the beauty of the world and all the things that the world can promise me. So you say, Scott, that sounds like a war. Well, it is a war. This war is against our soul. Christ has cleansed it, but the devil wants it to be ineffective. Again, in 1 Peter, Peter says, dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. So when I dabble in fleshly desires, I give that enemy victory. Where does that occur? Well, that cutting word of judgment against a brother or sister that didn't really need to happen, but it happened. That website that I know I shouldn't visit, but I was there anyway. That display of anger that was probably over the top, but felt so good because that person deserved it, right? All those give the enemy a foothold and defeat our ministry, Scripture says. Paul said this in Galatians. He said, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh, the will of the flesh, reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit, will of the Spirit, reap everlasting life. You say, wait a minute. If I'm a believer, I've already put Jesus on his proper place, haven't I? Well, yeah, and Paul tells us that in 2 Corinthians. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. But even though I'm a new creation, I know for now I continue to live in this world, this fallen world, which easily draws me back in, brings me in its way of thinking and its way of living. And you know what? Scripture says that's normal. Jesus said in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. So what's the answer? How do we resolve this issue? Jesus also said this in Luke 9. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. Now, the cross was a painful sacrifice, to be sure. However, it was not a cross of defeat. It was a cross of victory. Jesus was victorious on the cross. In Hebrews, Paul says, because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. But how does all this connect to relationships, Scott? We're wandering. Well, let me try to bring you back. Think back to the time when Christ came into your life and saved you. About the joy and the guilt that was lifted off of you. Try to think about that moment. The people around us, the people on our art coast, people in our relationship, need to hear about that moment. They need to hear about that time we accepted by faith the sacrifice Jesus made for us. It's when we share the truth that God, that the God of everything loves us even at our worst and helps us become our best, that people start to hear the hope of Jesus. If we feed our brain with the message of the cross every morning, which I highly recommend, we're more aware of others' need for that message every day. However, if we feed our brain with the things of the world, like the pride of self-reliance, our own importance, or the idols of materialism, then we miss out on the opportunity to share the hope of the cross with hurting people around us. Living like this is not something we can do on our own, but something we must ask God for. But aside from scriptures that call on us to do this, why should we make this change in our lives? Why is that important? In a recent study, actually 2 weeks ago, a study from Cornell University about life's biggest regrets, people my age and older said, about 76% of them said their biggest regret was inaction on dreams and aspirations. Less than 40% said it was about things they actually did. Sure, we may have mishandled things, but we have much more regret over what we didn't do than over what we did. So next year, when we look back on 2019, what will we say? Will we regret not putting God in his proper place in our lives? Will we regret not stepping out boldly to pray for and to build relationships with those people he brings into our lives, into our oikos? Will we continue to put Christ on the throne each day just to see what he might be able to do rather than what we can do? Friends, this message is really directed at me more than you. I've lost focus on the cross many times in my life. Trust me. I fail with this constantly, but I don't allow myself to become defined by those failures. And please don't allow yourself to be defined by them either. As humans, to fail is normal. Experiencing distraction is normal. Having terrible days is normal. We have to remember the cross is a symbol reminding us we could never be perfect. We have to remember this daily and focus on Christ's performance being stronger than our own performance. When we do this, we'll have the strength to bounce back faster after we fall. And we'll learn to focus on Christ and his love for us, as it's the most powerful thing in our lives. Picking up our cross and carrying it daily is our constant reminder that Jesus paid it all. He alone is our strength and our life, and our reminder that no matter what, we're willing to give him every part of our lives. The following of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a great theologian, said this, pretty simple, but profound. He said, following of Christ is not the achievement or merit of a select few, but the divine commandment of all Christians without distinction. So what is this new year going to bring us? I'm not sure. If I knew that, we wouldn't have any more financial issues, right? But I know this. It will produce 365 opportunities to pick up my cross and follow the Lord. So, today we have an opportunity to take that first step together. As we prepare for communion, I want to give you a moment to pray and speak to the Lord. Opportunity to speak to him about the coming year. Talk to him about the relationship you want to build with him, with others, with yourself. And then we'll get together and take communion. So let's just take a moment. Speak to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. So now, in a real way, Jesus wants to show us that he's all in on our plan. We made this plan together. Jesus wants to show us that he's all in. In fact, he's been all in since the beginning of time. He created a plan for your salvation and mine. He created a plan for our success in eternity past. He knows what's to come, and he's going to be with us through it. But he didn't just create the plan, he was the plan. He sacrificed his throne and himself for you and me. Today we remember that sacrifice in communion. Ours is an open communion. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're welcome at the table. You remember last week we read from Luke about Christ coming. Now in Luke 22, let's read about his gift, the Last Supper with the apostles. Luke 22 says this, "And he took bread, giving thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.'" I'm going to ask the ushers to come and pass the elements. And if you hang on to them, we're a small enough group, we'll take them together. As they pass, I just ask you to prepare your heart to accept that plan that Christ has for us. We're part of that plan. We can plan to put him on the throne every day. He will not disappoint. So that's my prayer for you as we get ready. Jesus took the bread and he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's do that when we eat together. Then he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood poured out for you." Let's remember that when we drink. Let's pray. Father, just like you prepared the disciples to leave that supper and go out and live for you, we're asking you to prepare us for this new year. To go out from here, put you on the throne each day. It's a simple ask, Lord, and yet it's a challenge for us to do. We can't do it without your help. So, Lord, send your Spirit. Help us to be prepared for each day that'll come before us. We don't know what they're going to bring, good or bad, joy, sorrow. But Lord, you do, and you're ready. You have a plan. You're prepared. We just got to let you execute it. So, Father, be with us. Stand beside us on the good days and the bad days. We will remember what you did for us, and we'll give you the praise. Thank you for being here with us this morning. In Christ's name, amen.